Good morning on this rainy day. Dimnit Chapel is not a bad place to be, getting out of the rain. I have the privilege of introducing our speaker this morning, and I want to just tell you a little bit about her. She is a Hope grad. She is a mother of three. She graduated with a French and also an education major. Very smart, beautiful woman. And she is going to share her story with us. One of the joys that I have being a chaplain is to hear your story, to walk alongside you. And then we have also the privilege of having our alumni coming back and telling their stories. We grow from each other. Jen developed a Bible study called Transformed, and you have heard about that over the last couple weeks, that we're going to have a Transformed Bible study. It starts tomorrow. It's going to be at the Keppel at 4 p.m., you can still sign up online. And she developed this curriculum, and it's just a beautiful way of looking at the Bible because it just speaks clearly into some of our misperceptions of ourself, some of the lies that come to us. So we would love to have you join us, and I want to introduce you to Jennifer Lane, and please give her a warm welcome. Thank you. Thanks, Jen.
Oh, it's good to be here. 20-some years ago, I was sitting in the same seats that you're sitting in today, but the chapel wasn't always this full. In fact, it was quite empty at times. But during my time here, I got to see God bring revival to Hope's campus and fill this place to overflowing like it is today. I got to experience God in ways like I never had before. I learned how to worship in the gospel choir. I learned about the power and the importance of prayer. I was discipled in my faith in campus Bible studies, and then taught how to disciple others. It was here, right here, that God truly captured my heart. I left Hope feeling empowered, equipped, confident, but life outside of Hope's walls was a lot harder than I anticipated. When trials and adversity came, I was faced with three questions that put my faith to the test. What defines me? In what do I place my hope? In whom am I confident? I had grown up in a Christian home and had made a decision for Christ at a young age, but I always felt like I had to prove my worth. My determination to prove my worth translated into me becoming caught up in following the rules. I soon began to define myself by what I did and didn't do. But my heart's motive for rule following was approval seeking, and God was not on the throne of my heart. I was no better than the Pharisees who believed their strict adherence to religious law made them holy. I had fallen prey to a works-based methodology that said I could earn holiness, love, and acceptance. But it's a hard way to live when your worthiness is based on others' approval. Oh, how I wish I could go back to my younger self and tell her, you missed it. You missed it. God doesn't work that way. You don't have to do anything to earn God's love. You're enough just the way you are. If only I'd clung to the scriptures that said I was loved, chosen, precious, worthy, forgiven, redeemed, fearfully and wonderfully made, created and designed by God, his masterpiece. If only. But when I heard those truths, all I could think of was, masterpiece? When I looked in the mirror back then, I didn't see a masterpiece. All I could see were my imperfections flashing back at me like a big neon sign. I thought maybe this masterpiece is better off in the trash. But if you thought the same thing, let me reframe it for you. If you found a masterpiece like the Mona Lisa in the trash, would that make the painting any less valuable? No, right? The true worth of the painting isn't defined by where it's found or what state it's in. Its value can be spotted by someone who has the eyes to see it for what it truly is. I needed new lenses. Maybe you do too. Because the truth is, no matter how you see yourself, God sees you as his masterpiece. God sees in you someone so valuable that he was willing to send his son to die just for you. Oh, how different things would have been if I'd believed those truths. I could believe them for you, but I couldn't believe them for myself, which made me vulnerable to lies. No matter how hard I tried, I failed to keep everyone around me happy, which to me meant I wasn't worthwhile. Lies that I was a failure, unworthy, unacceptable inside and out, grew louder and began to drown out the truth that I knew. I desperately searched for something I could do to make myself somehow pleasing acceptable, worthy again. Sadly, that thing turned out to be an eating disorder. But the eating disorder was the worst kind of cheater. It promised to save me, but instead it imprisoned me. So here I was, enslaved to yet another master, ashamed and too proud to ask for help. But soon my life was in danger, and I could hide it no longer. For the next 7 years, I worked diligently in treatment, always hoping for someone to come along and rescue me, be that knight in shining armor, and lead me to happily ever after, but it didn't happen that way. Then one day, my treatment team told me that I was doing great and was probably as good as I'll ever be. Wait, what? As good as I'll ever be? But it's not gone. Well, they said eating disorders never really go away. They just need to be managed. Whew, my heart sank. All this work and for what? I felt like I'd just received a death sentence. Hopelessness and then darkness set in. In my desperation and despair, I cried to God and he answered me. He showed me that only he could rescue me, only he could heal me, and only he could set me free. No human could do that, and I needed to stop expecting them to. You see, I had wrongly put my trust and my hope for rescue in my treatment team, in my family, in my friends, even in myself. But I was denying the power of the cross by hoping in anything else. God challenged me to place my hope in him and let him be my rescuer, my refuge, and my strength. This shift allowed God to begin a transformative work in my heart, which resulted in lasting freedom from my eating disorder. God had made a way where there was no way. But the trials, they kept coming. He'd rescued me from my eating disorder, but soon I found myself in another valley, and it seemed there was nothing I could do to change my situation. While I was no longer putting my hope in anything other than God, I was still afraid, very afraid. And my fears became my biggest obstacle. When fear came, my old pattern was to panic and take matters into my own hands. And you already know how that turned out. Now God was challenging me to respond differently to fear. Listen to what Micah 7:7 says. As for me, I look to the Lord for his help. I wait confidently for God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me. Oh, wait confidently and with certainty. Confidence and certainty were the exact opposites of how I felt. I realized I was so afraid about the outcome because I felt like the outcome was riding on my shoulders, and I had no idea how to do that. God was asking me to give him my fears and to trust him, but what did that even look like? I turned to the scriptures for some answers. As I studied the Psalms, I discovered that the psalmist prays and commands, meaning when he prays, he doesn't say, Lord, yeah, excuse me, if you have a minute, I was just wondering if maybe you could help me, but if not, that's okay. No, that's not how he prays. He says things like, save me, help me, rescue me, heal me, vindicate me. I thought, how could David pray like that so boldly? It's because David wasn't confident in himself. He was confident in his God. Even though David had a lot to fear, his life was on the line, he stayed focused on his Almighty God instead of his circumstances. David's confidence in God washed away his fear because he knew God was on his side. And God is on your side too. Think about that for a minute. The God who created the whole world and all that's in it, the one who made up the plan to save all of humanity through his son, Jesus Christ, the one who performs wonders and miracles still today, that God, he's on your side. That's the answer. That's how we can be confident. Next time you're facing difficult circumstances, remember how great and mighty God is and that he is on your side. So what about you? What do you let define you? What will you place your hope in when trials come? Will you be confident in the face of fear? As you go from this place today, take some time to discuss these questions with the Lord, so that you are ready when trials and adversity comes. If you hear only one thing today, hear this. You are important. Your life matters. You were created with a kingdom purpose in mind, and no matter what life brings, no matter what anyone speaks over you, no matter the depths of the darkness you find yourself, let God define you. Put your hope in him and be confident because Almighty God is on your side. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are a sovereign God who planned everything from the creation of the universe to each person in this room's unique design. Help us to see ourselves as you see us. Help us to put our hope in you and help us to be confident in you, regardless of our circumstances, so that we can walk forward undaunted in the face of fear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.